way most people are living, it's not the way we would like to follow. So saying no, trying to find some different way. Many times, unfortunately, wanting to live a different way, we feel different, we feel excluded. And we accept that duality, we accept that exclusion. And say, let me do something different over here, separate, different. And moving from there, we end up not doing something so very different after all. We're still separate. Different in a way of being better, usually. Living better than those poor people. So we see disharmony in the way many people live their lives. And there's a natural kind of no that can come. And there's also an angry kind of no that can come. And I'd like for us to start to feel the difference between these two kinds of no's. There's a kind of no that accepts that the way things are is disharmony. So I have to separate myself from what's going on and try to make harmony over here separately. And I have some friends who have a saying, and as you'll probably guess, they're from the United States. That kind of saying. The saying is, see only harmony. No matter what you're seeing, see only harmony. So yes, that could end up being the wrong kind of yes, without any no left. Just see only harmony, pretending that it's already harmonious. But I'd like to tell a story, and then we can go more deeply into this. What does see only harmony mean when there's clearly so much disharmony? One of my teachers was in some city somewhere on the planet, I don't know which country, probably the United States, and she was in the elevator going downstairs to go out to dinner. And she was alone in the elevator. And then at one of the floors on the way down, the elevator opened and someone came in. So there were just two of them in the elevator going down. And this other person pulled out a gun. So imagine what a small space an elevator is if there's a gun in there. And there's not really much you can do. You don't exactly want to stop the elevator. And what my friend Mary did, or it's not actually a doing, what she saw a gun, and she saw a man holding the gun, and she said, "Oh, that's so cute." So there's a holiday in the States called Halloween where people dress up in costumes. That's so cute. I didn't know it was Halloween. You look so great. You just made my day. Thanks. Ding. Bye. The guy was so surprised that he forgot what to do with his gun. Mary is the kind of person that you can't be totally sure that she's not just really deeply deluded. Or maybe something else is going on. But eventually the maybe something else is going on seems to be true. It's not that we could try that technique on an armed robber necessarily, and nothing else is left, you might as well try. But she wasn't trying, she just saw a joke instead of an armed robber. And she thought it was so cute. She thanked him for making her day. She understands that the real robber, does everyone know what a robber is, by the way? A little late, I'm asking. A robber is someone who wants to at least take your money, if not everything else. In the States, they usually have guns. So Mary has a very deep understanding or experience that the real robbery would be our own fear, rather than someone taking our money. And she has worked with that situation enough. She's seen through fear enough that it just didn't occur to her to be afraid looking at a gun in an elevator. I love how things that happen outside, so outer stories, can help us when we're going in to kind of see how we relate to the robbers inside us. And I'm sure that you've met quite a few robbers today. Mind states that steal your energy, that try to scare you, and by scaring you, steal your energy. So the guy didn't really want to kill Mary, he just wanted to scare her enough that she would obey him, do what he wanted to do. And that seems to be how it's working inside as well. Mind states that come and try to scare us into doing what they want, into giving up our life energy. So things like impatience, for example. It's one of the biggest mafias going around on the planet. Could someone let this person inside? And another robber that we could try to see through, to see the joke of it, is this saying no that maybe has gotten us here. This rebelliousness against the disharmony that we see around us. So it's so easy, having said no and feeling the power of that, no, I'm not going to just live my life according to what people tell me to. I'm not going to live as if money is a god. I'm not going to live as if it's really life-enhancing to spend half, at least, of my energy concerned about how I look. There's a kind of power that we feel. No. But to be careful not to get stuck in that no. So wherever we get stuck, being stuck is the robber. Being stuck is robbing us. So I really, every day I have been tickled, like happy, at how many of us in the room are eccentric enough, so like weird enough, to still be here and to be listening. I've been really appreciating that every day. Enough not sticking to your little views and listening. So just to be careful that the eccentricity, the weirdness, the rebel doesn't become your new character, your new place of trying to feel grounded and real. life doesn't seem to agree with the rules that we try to make. We try to say what should be and what shouldn't be. The should be, shouldn't be is getting out the gun. If we could come to a place where we agree with the messiness of life, we're not just so ready to be embarrassed by life. We're not taking it as an insult when something seems to go wrong. What would that be like? Something doesn't fit my rules. So, if I'm nice, people are going to be nice to me. Tried it, didn't work. If I'm tough, people are going to obey me. Doesn't work. I don't know if maybe some people have found rules that work for them. Rules, ways of trying to manipulate. It seems to me that trying to go by a fixed rule is not only not working, but it's holding ourselves up at gunpoint. It's not agreeing to the flow that life seems to be. So this phrase, seeing only harmony, if we can just listen to that, we don't have to agree with it. The only harmony. What is harmony? I think that many times when we are like, may all beings live in harmony, there's a feeling that we'd like all beings to be quiet, to be nice, to think that we are the best in the room. To be generous, at least with us. We can easily start to think that harmony means comfortable. May all beings live in harmony. May all beings let me be comfortable. When we're trying to find harmony within ourselves, or in our daily life, which means within, without, to be careful what we're trying to find. Are we trying to find a way to make things fit into our view or our rules? And whatever doesn't fit, out. One way that we've probably all experienced coming more into harmony as being uncomfortable. There's many ways that this happens. But one way is, let's say, within a family or any group. There are ways that we've come to relate that are following the rules. So, if mom is angry, everyone walks on tiptoes and turns the television down or whatever. And if someone breaks the rules of that family or that group, that person probably will feel really, really uncomfortable and probably also guilty. Even though the breaking the rules was harmony coming into a fixed situation. A situation of sameness repeated. Harmony is about things that are different being able to flow together. Not about making things same or making things fit. Also, whenever I say something about an outer situation like a family or any group where there's rules that we break, etc., the same kind of thing applies metaphorically inside us. We also have rules about what we feel comfortable doing and not doing. How I'm shy, I can't sing. Or I'm a singer. Can you hear me? Should I be a little louder? And if we go against that tendency, that habit energy or that rule, usually we'll feel really uncomfortable and maybe even guilty. So that's one way that harmony coming through is not about comfortable. And I think it's really important to start to get the feeling of the discomfort of harmony coming through, of harmony breaking apart a fixed, knotted situation. That kind of discomfort is really important. To be able to bear. To be able to be with. Inside us, outside. There's one kind of weird thing I want to mention. Since we had the big uproar about what the Buddha's real teachings were yesterday, and just having seen how quickly the teachings of a person change as soon as they die, so just keeping loose about what we think we know about who taught what. There's one teacher who lived about maybe 100 years ago, who seemed to me to be very wise in a wild way. And he said that we've totally misunderstood the Buddha's teaching. Almost as soon as he died, he got mixed up. That one of the things he was telling us to do as far as dealing with discomfort or suffering was to suffer the unpleasant manifestations of other people. Yeah, I say again. So far from telling us to go and be alone and just get into our little cave and deal with only us, there's a suggestion that the Buddha was saying, be with other people and feel the discomfort of living with other people, including their really most unpleasant ways of being. The way that your roommate snores, the way that the person rushes to be the first one for the meal.